All right. Revelation chapter 13. I'm so glad for those of you who did make it here. I've asked our video person, Mr. Kuneshige. I said, I don't know if we'll need a video online today for YouTube. It's we have so few, and I just thought we'll have a little bit of a, not so much a sermon, but a Bible study. Because if you come here through a typhoon, it means you really want to worship God and study His Word. And no typhoon, no storm, no wind, no rain is going to stop you. So you're serious. There's no fakers today. So I wanted to have a kind of a... And today is hard. It's not an easy scripture. So I want us to have a good, solid Bible study. Kuneshige-san is still going to videotape it, looks like. But, makasemasu. Yoroshiku nagaishimasu. And also, I think Michelle is going to do some Facebook something. I don't know. But I'll leave it to you, and we'll let the Lord do what He does. But I will warn you now, we're going to be in the Bible today. And I don't have many sermon type of things. So maybe less entertaining, but yeah, educational at least, that will help you build your faith and understand and know the Lord through His Word all the more. Amen? All right, so Revelation chapter 13, we're going to talk about two beasts as they're related to a big dragon. Before we go there, I just want to give a short introduction about our church, not our church, small c, but church, big C, the church around the world. Pastor Kevin, he sent me a link on Facebook Messenger a couple of days ago about three Christians in Kenya who were stoned to death by Muslims. They were construction workers who were from a different town. They moved to a town to do work. They had a contract job. There was a murder of a member of the town who was Muslim, but there was an extremist Muslim group in that town who blamed the Christians who were working there. So a few days ago, this month, they went to the construction site. It's called Al-Shayab, this Muslim extremist group. And they were shouting, and they rushed the three workers, and they picked up the construction site bricks, and they started stoning them. And so the three Christians, they ran to a nearby hotel to find some shelter. But the group chased them there and still killed them, even at the site. The family of the one member who was killed was mourning. And, you know, they're Christians. They said, you know, our brother was killed, but we understand what happens. And our brother always encouraged us that when times were difficult, he said, all we have is Jesus, and we pray to Him. And the only question that we have is, where was the police? Where was the government? Why didn't they come? And where are they now? Why aren't they helping? Where is the investigation? That's not only in Kenya. You can actually go online right now on your phone. There's a site called persecution.org, right? Hakugai.org. And every day there's an update of churches in Egypt, Christians in Iran, Christians in Somalia, northern Nigeria, China, pastors being in prison, everywhere. What do you do when you hear about it? We can just say, oh, zanen, お祈りします。We'll pray, right? But what is our response? Now, there's that, and then there's one more thing. There is a more difficult danger. There's us who live in Japan. Nobody's coming to us with bricks. Nobody's arresting us and putting us in prison. And nobody is attacking us physically. Are we in danger? This chapter shows us, yes, we are in as much trouble and danger as any Christian in Iran, in China, in Indonesia, or Saudi Arabia, where the problem in other places is violence and oppression. The problem in places here is deception. That is where the church fights. The church endures under oppression. The church needs wisdom in deception. And that's what Romans chapter 13 is all about. Okay? There are going to be two beasts. We're going to read about them. They're going to be kind of famous because of the number at the end. And if we have time, I'll get into that a little bit and try to help us understand what this chapter is about. So we'll read it together. I'll start from verse 1. And then please join me at verse 11. So let's read here now the word of God. And the dragon stood on the shore of the sea. And I saw a beast coming out of the sea. It had 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 crowns on its horns, and on each head a blasphemous name. The beast I saw resembled a leopard, but had feet like those of a bear and a mouth like that of a lion. The dragon gave the beast his power and his throne and great authority. One of the heads of the beast seemed to have a fatal wound, but the fatal wound had been healed. The whole world was filled with wonder and followed the beast. People worshipped the dragon because he had given authority to the beast, and they also worshipped the beast and asked, "Who is like the beast? Who can wage war against it?" The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies, and to exercise its authority for 42 months. It opened its mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. It was given power to wage war against God's holy people and to conquer them. And it was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world. Whoever has ears, let them hear. If anyone is to go into captivity they will go. If anyone is to be killed with the sword, and with the sword they will be killed. This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of God's people. Now let's read together verse 11. Then I saw a second beast coming out of the earth. It had 2 horns like a lamb, but it spoke like a dragon. It exercised all the authority of the first beast on its behalf and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose fatal wound had been healed. And it performed great signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to the earth in full view of the people. Because of the signs, it was given power to perform on behalf of the first beast. It deceived the inhabitants of the earth. It ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. The second beast was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that the image could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. It also forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hands or on their foreheads, so that they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the person who has insight calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. That number is 666. The very words of God. Amen. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, so cue the conspiracy music, the Illuminati talk, and the Masons, and the triangles, and the Baphomets, and all of that stuff, right? All right. 666. I'll try to get to that number by the end of the sermon. This could go at least 40 minutes. I'll try to not go too long. Well, where are we going to go? But let's see. The dragon stood on the shore of the sea. Do you remember last week, the dragon? The dragon was from the abyss. He had been thrown down out of the heavens. The dragon was the great serpent, also known as Satan, the accuser of the brothers who accused us day and night before God. Well, in chapter 12, right, he's not fighting God. He's fighting God's angel. So history is not a battle between good and evil or God versus Satan. Satan is not even strong enough to fight against God. He's only strong enough to fight against Michael. And even Michael beats him. And he's thrown out of heaven. Him with, well, a third of the heavens, the stars. And so many scholars believe that's a symbolic language, because stars often referenced God's holy messengers, his angels, spiritual beings, Elohim in Hebrew. Okay, do you remember what happened when he got thrown to the earth? An angel said, "The heavens rejoice. The heavens rejoice because the dragon has been thrown down. But woe to what?" Woe to, chapter 12, verse 12. "Rejoice, you heavens, you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea. Because the devil has gone down to you. And man, he is angry. He knows that his time is short." So he is at war with God's people. He lost war against God's angels. So now he's going to fight against God's people, the church. Where? On the land and the sea. He's thrown into the abyss. And now he's going to send from the abyss two of his agents. Let's read about the first one. "He stood on the shore of the sea, and I saw a beast coming out of the sea." I'm going to talk about the sea a little bit later, so just put a not there. It had 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 crowns on its horns, and on each head a blasphemous name. All right, we'll stop there. Verse 1. 10 horns, 7 heads, 10 crowns on its horns. So, again, chapter 12, the dragon, symbolic of Satan, the dragon also had 7 heads, right? With 10 horns and 10 crowns. Or was it, no. Excuse me, 7 horns and 10 crowns. So this beast looks like the dragon. 7 heads, 10 horns. So this beast is coming from the dragon. Now, we said last week that the horns and the heads of the dragon, a horn always represented power, and the crown, kingly power. So the dragon had power that was influential over the kings, the rulers, the prime ministers, the presidents over the world. How does that work? I want you now to, now we're going to jump into Bible study, less into sermon. Okay? You have your Bible? Is it open? You're going to need it. This is not enough. Okay? You need a Bible. And now you're in Revelation 13. Turn over the page to go in chapter 17. Chapter 17. Okay? I normally do not do this, you know, have you flipping pages, but since we're all here, let's get into it. Chapter 17, what are these heads and these horns and these crowns? Chapter 17, this is a bit of a spoiler, but in chapter 17, verse 1. One of the 7 angels who had 7 bowls came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the punishment of the great prostitute who sits on many waters." I'll talk about the prostitute in the future. Just put, you know, put her in the back of your mind. "With her, the kings of the earth," the kings of the earth, the heads, the crowns, the horns of the earth committed adultery. The inhabitants of the earth were intoxicated by her wine and adulteries. Verse 3, 17. "Then the angels carried me away in the spirit into a desert. There I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast," a red beast. What was the color of the dragon in chapter 12? Anyone? Red. Now the beast is red. Let's look at that beast a little bit more. Verse 3. "The scarlet beast was covered with blasphemous names," just like in chapter 13, "and had 7 heads and 10 horns. Same beast, okay? You with me? The woman was dressed in purple scarlet, was glittering with gold, precious stones, and pearls. She had a golden cup in her hand." Okay, we're going to skip down, okay? The woman is Babylon. Now, skip down to verse 7. "Then the angel said to me, 'Why are you astonished? I will explain to you the mystery of the woman and of the beast she rides.'" So here it is. Here's the explanation of the beast. "Which has 7 heads and 10 horns. Verse 8. The beast which you saw once was, now is not, and will come up out of the abyss and go to his destruction. The inhabitants of the earth, whose names have not been written in the book of life from the creation of the world." Sounds like Revelation chapter 13, right? Sounds like Revelation chapter 13. "Will be astonished when they see the beast, because he once was, now is not, and yet will come. This calls for a mind of wisdom. The 7 heads, here we are, verse 9. The 7 heads are 7 hills on which the woman sits. They are also 7 kings. 5 have fallen, 1 is, the other has not yet come. But when he does come, he must remain for a little while." Again, verse 11. "The beast who once was, now is not, is an eighth king. So the beast is an eighth king. Holy cow. The beast had seven heads who were seven kings, but now the beast is an eighth king. What in the world is going on here? All right. Verse 12. The ten horns you saw are ten kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but who for 1 hour will receive authority as kings along with the beast. Okay. All right. Let's come back now. Come back to me here. Oh, boy. I just want to go right up here, but I can't do that. Okay. So the beast, seven heads. Now, we saw in Revelation 17, those seven heads were the seven hills where the king sits, where the woman sits. You know what? In the first century, everyone understood the story of the Roman Empire. Rome started as a settlement of seven villages on seven hills on the left shore of the Tiber River. Everybody knew that. So when John says these are seven hills with seven kings and the woman was sitting on them, everybody thought, oh yeah, that's Rome. Okay, we got that, Chris. But what's this stuff about he was and then he wasn't and now he's to come? Right? So these kings were and then they died and then they come back and then they're coming back again? Let's go back to chapter 13. Okay, remember chapter 13 we just read. The beast had a wound which was a fatal wound. Right? He had a fatal wound, but then it was healed. Now, if these heads represent kings or kingdoms or rulers or powers or governments, and these governments are opposed to God, they're powerful, they're oppressive, but you know what they do? They die. Empires die. And it seems like all their oppression, all their power, all their rage dies. But what happens? Another one comes up. The empire goes up, it collapses. Another empire goes up, it collapses, right? Let me show you what I mean. Let me show you. Actually, it's there in verse 2, Romans 13. So flip back. Megurimashou. Modorimashou. In verse 2. The beast I saw resembled a leopard, but had feet like those of a bear and a mouth like that of a lion. Okay? The dragon gave the beast its power and the throne and great authority. A leopard, a bear, and a lion. You ready? You got your Bible? Let's go to the Old Testament. Go to Daniel. The book of Daniel in the Old Testament. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. Okay, he's the last of the major prophets. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. If you have the Amos or Joel, you're too far. Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. We are in Bible study mode. Okay? If you're there, say amen. Daniel chapter 7, verse 1. Verse 2. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me were four winds of heaven churning up the great sea. I'll talk about the sea a little bit later. Four great beasts, each different from the others, came up out of the sea. Four beasts. What are they? Verse 4. The first was like a lion. It had wings of an eagle. I watched until its wings, okay? And then you go down. Verse 5. And there before me was a second beast, which looked like a bear. Okay? And it had some ribs in its mouth. Okay, verse 6. After that I looked, and there before me was another beast, one that looked like a leopard. Okay? Now, So we have the three beasts. Let's go to the fourth beast, verse 7. After that, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was a fourth beast. Terrifying, frightening, very powerful. Large iron teeth, crushed, devoured its victims, trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the former beasts. How many horns? 10 horns. Revelation 13. Okay? So, we look back. We have a lion, a bear, and a leopard in that order in Daniel chapter 7. Go back to Revelation chapter 13. The order is flipped the other way. A leopard, a bear, and a lion. Who are these kingdoms? Daniel was around 600 BC. Daniel saw the future of Israel being conquered by Babylon, who was symbolized with a lion, the great empire of Babylon. But then they died and were conquered by another kingdom, the Medo-Persians, symbolized by a bear. Their empire collapsed, and guess who took over? The Greeks. The Greeks were symbolized by a leopard, right? But then they die, and who comes after them? The Romans, great iron teeth. What is he saying? Daniel was saying that fourth beast, it had all of the ferociousness, all of the evil, all of the oppressive power of the three beasts combined. So that's what this beast is. It keeps coming back. It comes. It rises. It falls. It rises. It falls. And so what is people's response? What does it say there? What we read? Who is like this beast? We can't kill it. And if you can't beat him, you worship him. And that's what the beast does. It gathers people. It gathers people. You can't kill me, so you need to join me. It's every empire, every ruler, every emperor, every reincarnation of a government that's totalitarian, that's authoritative. Okay? It was Babylon, it was Medo-Persia, it was Greece, it was Rome, it was Egypt, it was the Mongols, it was the Gauls, it was Mao Zedong's China, it was Hitler's Germany, it was you name it. Where are we now? Okay? And who is the leader now? It's everything that opposes. Now, hear me, please. Government is government. Government is not evil by nature. Okay? So, Xi Jinping of China, he's cracking down on churches. He's putting pastors in prison. I just read in Somalia. Was it Somalia? I think it's Somalia. Hundreds of churches have been ordered to shut down. The president says, you know, we just need them to shut down for repairs. Romans chapter 13 says, God makes government. And it's there for the people to maintain order and to punish wrongdoing. That's what government is for. But here's the thing. Government is made of people. And people are sinners by nature. And so that gives the dragon an opportunity to enter government. And what was once good for the people, the dragon takes and uses for his purpose. And now he's going to use the government because he's opposed to God
he will oppress God's people through the government. Are you following this? That's what we call a beast. You don't have to turn there. We don't have too much time now. 1 John. The author of this is John, Revelation. He wrote three letters, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. In that first letter, 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, he says this, at the end, there's going to be what we call an antichrist. But before the antichrist, there was going to be many antichrists, plural. Antichrist. Powers, rulers that go against Christ, God's people, his church. Okay? How? Through physical, historical, real oppression, persecution. Whereas the world is going to just be like, we're just going to go with the flow. The church is always going to be what Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, the pillar and foundation of truth. The dragon is the accuser. He is a liar. He speaks lies by nature. So when he takes over a government, it's going to be opposed to the pillar and foundation of truth, which is the church. That's God's people. That's a beast. Now, I think I explained the fatal wound, verse 3. The great authority, men worshipped it, verse 4. I think we covered that. The blasphemies, verse 5. The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies to exercise his authority for 42 months. And we read in chapter 17, the beast was blaspheming, you know. What people have known is that these Roman emperors, starting with Julius Caesar, and then all the way from Augustus to Vespasian to Claudius and Caligula, Vespasian, and on, all the way to Domitian. The first one to say that he's a god. Well, Julius, the first emperor, they said he's a god after he dies. Julius Caesar. And then the one after him, Claudius. Wow. He goes, yeah, I know you're going to make me a god after I die, but you know what was what's really good? I'm going to be a god before I die. And he was so powerful and so influential, the Senate said, okay, all right, you're a god. Blasphemous. And then the one after him, Caligula was crazy. He only had like, I think, 3 years in power. But he says, not only am I a god, my horse is going to be a god too. Absolutely crazy, right? So these kings, and you can see it on the coins of ancient Roman money. You know, some gods were the Lord of Lords. Another god was his dominion was over all the earth. He was a god who rules. It's on the money of all these Roman rulers. Blasphemous. Yeah. And then you have some rulers over the centuries of human history. Now, recently, they'll say there is no god. Communist Cuba, communist Russia, communist China, Vietnam, wherever you go. It's no God. Blasphemous. And guess which governments are more oppressive and more opposed to God's people? Right? We move on. We continue. 42 months. We covered this. 42 months, right? 1,260 days, 3.5 years. It's all of human history from the time Jesus leaves to the time Jesus comes back. It's a time of great oppression, a time of great struggle for God's people. Okay, 42 months, we covered that. Verse 7. He was given power to make war against the saints and to conquer them. That is a key word. He conquers them. Listen, we can't fight. We're not called to fight. Can you see that? We're called to be conquered. The beast has power to conquer us. No, Pastor Chris, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Really? Because it says here, we're conquered. Well, then what are we supposed to do? What about those three construction workers just doing their job, killed for no reason? Verse 9, he who has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is to go into captivity he will go. If anyone is to be killed with the sword he will be killed. Remember in chapter 12, how did we overcome? How does the church overcome? By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of the testimony. And the third thing was, they weren't afraid to die. So how do we deal with it? The end of verse 10. This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness. In this room next door, there's a keijiban, what do you call it? A bulletin board. And there's a pamphlet for a little town about 2 hours from here in Yamaguchi called Tsuwano. Have you ever been to Tsuwano, Yamaguchi? Tsuwano, they're going to have a deaf members convention there for Christians. And in Tsuwano, it's a famous place for persecuted Christians. Just before the Meiji Jidai, when Japan closed its borders to all the foreign governments, there were Christians here, Catholic Christians. They were down in Nagasaki. So the shogun said, no, the beast came out. We don't need Christians. They represent foreigners. They represent interests opposed to the Buddhist, Taoist, Shintoist ideas of Japan. Either you leave Japan or you leave Christ. And so for those who stayed, Japanese Christians, they did not leave and they did not leave Christ. They were caught, some of them captured. Some of them were forced to march from South Nagasaki all the way from up Kyushu into Honshu, right into Yamaguchi, to a small place called Tsuwano, mountainous region. And in Tsuwano, there is a church. I've gone there 3 times with my students. And you can go to this church. It's dedicated to those saints who died as Christians. And then you go to this place called the Otome Toge, the Pass of the Virgin. And this was the place where the Japanese Christians were imprisoned. There's an account of a girl 5 years old. Her family was a Christian, she was a Christian, and she said, I love Jesus. I will die for him. 5-year-old girl, Japanese. There's another account of a 16-year-old. He was kept in a cage, 1 meter. 1 meter cage, 1 meter square cage. And in the wintertime, his torturers would let him out, and they said, you need to take a bath, you stink. In frozen water, not frozen water, but ice cold water. They dumped them into a little, not lake, but little pond. In the middle of January, February, they said, are you clean yet? And they pulled him out and they put him back in his cage. And he said, it's very hard, but I have visions and they're keeping me alive. He didn't last long. You could actually go online, Tsuwano, Japan. You could read about the testimonies of Christian Japanese martyrs. who suffered under the beast. What they had was patient endurance and faithfulness. Amen. We are here because of them. Yeah. Okay, that's part one. Part two, the second beast. This is about us now. I saw another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like that of a lamb. Okay, now it's time to talk. Verse 11, it says there, I saw a second beast coming out of the earth. Where did the first beast come out of? The sea. The sea and the earth, right? Isaiah chapter 57. There is no rest for the wicked. The wicked are like the sea, churning up mud and mire. The wicked are like the sea. For people in the ancient days, the sea, the waters, the oceans, they symbolize chaos. Just absolute wildlife. I mean, you can get on a cruise ship now. Take a cruise on a big boat. And now the sea is like just smooth and crystal and glass. But if you go to the beach and the sea is always moving. It never stops. It's constantly. It's chaotic. 70% of the earth is covered with water. Guess how much we know about the sea? Some say about 30% at most. So 70% of the world is covered by water, and 70% of that is still a mystery to us. There's thousands of species we don't know about. There's animals that we're finding all the time. Maybe one of them has a cure from cancer. We don't know. But it's so mysterious. Even today, imagine how it is back then, of how mysterious, how chaotic and wild it is. Right? Now contrast that with the land. Now if you live in California or if you live in Japan, you have earthquakes. It's not stable. But other places, the land is stable. Doesn't move. It's not like the sea. Which gives you a clue of what that second beast is like. You see, the first beast comes out just wild and roaring and teethed and furious and crushing. The second beast, it comes out on land or stable. And you know what? It doesn't sound like a beast. What does it sound like? It says it has two horns like a lamb. It's just a lamb. Harmless little lamb. Oh, yeah, I got horns. Don't mind me. They're not horns of power. They're just little. Just don't mind me. I'm just growing some horns. Just he looks like a lamb, but it says he spoke like a dragon. He spoke like a dragon. It doesn't mean he's like, you know, breathing fire and he's like, he's saying the dragon is using him as a mouthpiece. The dragon is speaking through him. Does that make sense? He spoke like a dragon, meaning he's the mouthpiece of the dragon. Little lamb, but he's a dragon. He represents the dragon. What did Jesus say? John chapter 10. Beware of false teachers. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inside they are ferocious wolves. So the second beast is a deceiver. In fact, we actually read that. Where did we read that? The word deceive. He deceives people. 14. Because of the signs he was given power on behalf of the first beast, he deceived the inhabitants of the earth. Deception. What do Christians in Japan, in America, North America, in Western Europe? What do Christians face in the Philippines, which is 70% Catholic, Christian, where there's no outward opposition to God, there's no explicit oppression of Christians? What do we have to fight? Nobody's putting us in jail. There's a lamb that speaks for a dragon. Verse 12. He exercised all the authority of the first beast on his behalf and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast whose fatal wound had been healed. I forgot to mention there. Well, I'll mention it now. That first beast had a fatal wound that was healed. Usually, if there's two kinds of wounds, a flesh wound and a fatal wound. A flesh wound is a cut. It heals. A fatal wound, you don't heal. You die. Therefore, it's fatal. So it's weird that it had a fatal wound and yet it was healed. That's the first beast. And not only that, the first beast was, and then it wasn't, and then it is again. How is God always described in the Bible? He was, and is to come. How is Jesus described? In the middle of chapter 13. He is the lamb that was slain. Jesus had a wound that was fatal. And he came back to life. The beast has this wound. But he comes back. And then he's killed again. And he comes back. The first beast is kind of copying Jesus. Are you seeing that? That first beast, that's why some people say he's the Antichrist. Because he's kind of a mirror, a demonic, satanic mirror of Jesus, in that he has a wound that's been healed, right? But it gets deeper than this. The second beast, what does he do? He has this power of deception, and he gets everybody to worship the first beast. But what does the first beast do? The first beast is getting everybody to worship the dragon. Follow me now. The dragon sends the first beast, who is a copy of Christ. The first beast sends, or after this first beast comes the second beast. And that second beast points everybody to the first beast. The first beast points everybody to the... There's one, two, and three. Following it? One, two, and three. One comes from one and comes from the another. Who is the author of Revelation? John. He wrote three letters, but he also wrote the Gospel of John. If you read the Gospel of John, there is no mistaking. The Gospel of John is always preaching the Trinity. Who is God? He is God the Father. God the Father sends the Son. And the Son is always doing what the Father is telling him to do. That's John chapter 8. And then John chapter 14, Jesus says, I'm the Son of God. Now I'm going to go, but don't worry, I'm going to send the Spirit. John chapter 16. The Spirit is going to come and teach you all truth. He's going to point to me. Following? So the Trinity. We have God, the Father sending the Son giving us the Spirit leading us back to the Son points us to the glory of God, the Father. Revelation 13. You have the dragon, opposed to God, who sends the first beast who mimics Jesus with these wounds and then comes back to life and has this power. And then after that, the second beast, who has the power to deceive, he gets everybody to worship the first beast, who gets everybody back to the... We call that the unholy triumvirate, the satanic trinity. Following? More about the second beast. You're in Revelation 13, Revelation 16. Revelation 16, verse 13. Revelation 16, verse 13. If you're there, say amen. Verse 13. Then I saw three evil spirits that looked like the frogs. I'll talk about that one in a couple weeks. They came out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. The dragon, the beast, and the second beast is known as the false prophet. Megurimashou. Chapter 19. Chapter 19, verse 20. Verse 20. But the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who had performed the miraculous signs on his behalf. And with these signs he had deluded those who had received the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. The two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of the burning sulfur. That's the end of them, right? So that second beast is the false prophet. One more. Chapter 20, verse 10. Chapter 20, verse 10. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. All right? So here we have the dragon, the Antichrist, the first beast, and the false prophet, the satanic trinity, the unholy triumvirate. Whew. He says he deceives. How does he deceive? He's got these miracles, right? And he has signs, and it doesn't say that it's fake. It says they're real. I'll show you fake. Can you see this? That's why I called you to be closer, because I wanted you to see this. All right, some of you have seen me wear this. This is a Bluetooth earphone. Okay? Now usually Bluetooth earphones, they're usually like about maybe the size of a thumb. You know, they hang out of the ear, they come to here, right? And people can talk on them. And whenever you see somebody talking on them, you're just like, you're weird, right? Okay. Now, I don't use this to talk on the phone, right? I use this to study. I listen to sermons. I listen to lectures. How do you think I prepare for these sermons? You think I actually sit down and read? Who has time? I have six children, right? I'm not going to read, all right, pages and pages. I'm just going to listen to as many sermons, as many lectures, as many presentations. That's how I do it, right? And if you want to listen to them, be my guest. I'll show you all the links, all free and good too. So anyway, I have this. And I didn't want this big old, you know, thing on my ear or my face, so I just Googled, you know, the smallest Bluetooth, right? And I got this, and you know, they have them all colors. They have black, blue, red, rose gold. I said, no, give me beige, okay? Hadairo, right? Because you know, if you look, if I put it in, right, I'm just doing my work, right? And if you see it, maybe you think, maybe he has an hearing aid. Maybe he has hearing problems. I don't care. You can think whatever you want. If you think I have a hearing problem, you speak louder and slower. That helps me, right? So I have this Bluetooth. Now let's imagine. I want the church to be filled, And I want more people to come. So I start healing people. I start a healing ministry. And people are coming, and one day I say, God is telling me, I hear the voice of the Lord. Maybe in the fifth row, there's a woman. Woman's name starts with, I don't know, J. Junko. Junko-san. Is there a Junko? And the woman said, I say, stand up. Are you Junko-sama? She, yeah. Have we met before? No. God says maybe you have a herniated disc. You have pain in your neck. Is that right? Yes. I'm going to heal you with the power of Jesus. I will rebuke the pain in your neck. And I say, Satan, you know, and I go all out, right? With the authority of the Lamb of God. And blah, 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 blah. Right? But here's my secret. Before everybody comes in, I have Nahomi standing at the door. And Nahomi is giving out cards. You know, oh, welcome. Your first time? Oh, good. Write your name and prayer request on this card. Right? She writes the name, prayer. And if the prayer request is, I don't know, my sister has third stage cancer. You know, she's has 3 months to live. Please pray for her. Nahomi just throws that in the garbage. We can't fix that. But maybe she says, this Junko-sama has a pain in her neck. Oh, yeah. Maybe that's just mental. Maybe it's stress, right? If it's psychosomatic, I just, you know, give her some Jesus. That's, maybe she'll feel better. And so, you know, I press the little button, and I'm preaching, you know, oh, I hear a voice, right? And Naomi's like, and, you know, she's talking to me. Sounds crazy? Sounds crazy. Who would believe that? 1986, Peter Popoff, American TV faith healer evangelist. Now, in 1986, they didn't have Bluetooth. He just had an earpiece, right? And people thought, well, maybe it's a hearing aid. How are you a faith healer with a hearing aid? Does that make sense? Whatever. So he would say, oh, I hear the voice of God. Actually, he had the voice of Mrs. Popoff in his ear. And ABC News came in, and they had a radio transceiver. The radio transceiver picks up the strongest radio signals in the place, and they heard Mrs. Popoff, you know, yes, row 7, aisle J, you know, Julie Andrews or something, you know, like that. That was in 1986. You can Google him now. He's back on TV. Yeah. It's the second beast, the false prophet. Grace sent me a link to a video. Even this year, Africa. Some great preacher. He has thousands of people. He calls somebody up. Never met you before? No. You have a daughter sick? Yes. Do you have her picture? No. Give me an iPad. Give me an iPad. He gets the iPad. God will send me a picture of your daughter right to your iPad. Right? He does it, right? And he just before he clicks the picture, you can't see it, but you replay the video, he actually clicked on the album, the photo album, and there's a picture of a baby on there. So he just before he pushes the picture button, he pushes the album button, and everybody's, ah, that's crazy, right? It's the false prophet. Now, we have to fight that. We have to fight that. But then Satan, he's a lot smarter. Satan has a lot smarter. You know, he's not going to come in here and he's not going to say, here's the lie. Here's a heresy. Believe it. Go ahead. He's not going to do that. He's going to say something like this. Yeah, I know, Pastor Chris, he teaches the Bible, but he's not a full-time pastor. He's just a part-time pastor. He's a full-time teacher. He had, you know. But here's somebody on YouTube. They do this for a living. They know the Bible. Yeah, I know, Pastor Chris, Pastor Kevin, Pastor Yoshi, they'll probably say homosexuality, safe sex marriage, gender fluidity. The Bible is probably against that, but, you know, the culture now, I mean, it's moving in the right direction. Do you want to be on the wrong side of history? You want to be bigoted and backwards? God made sex. It's a beautiful thing. And God made sexuality. If God do that, how could God make you homosexual and say you're evil? Really? Or he'll let you see something on Facebook, some inspirational quote. You know, everything happens for a reason. Jesus is with you always. And always at those inspirational quotes, there's a little, you know, little at the bottom in small font, the company that made that. And whenever I see somebody post some inspirational font, as a pastor, I have to be on guard for my people. So I always click. And you can always tell. You just follow the links all the way back. There's always a church, some organization, and they'll have a statement of faith about us, something like that. You just click on that, and you'll see what they believe about God, the Bible, Jesus, the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And some of it, it's garbage. But it looks good. It's easy to believe. But you just keep following this therapeutic, easy, all love and all grace and all prosperity, no repentance, no holiness, no righteousness, no blood stained cross, no gospel. That's this generation. You go to the next generation, it gets worse and worse and worse. Satan's smart. He's going to do that. It's the false prophet. Okay, time's up. Let me close. How do we fight this? What do we do? What do we need? Let's go to the end. Verse 18. This calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight... Oh, let's stop there. Sorry. This calls for wisdom. If you want to know about that 666... I'll be happy to tell you at the end, later on, okay? I just don't have time. It's not really that important, okay? Okay, I'll say one thing. Sorry. 666. 1 Timothy. I was reading 1 Timothy this week. It's the year-long Bible reading plan. 1 Timothy chapter... 1 Timothy... excuse me. Good thing this is not on video. Huh? Oh, boy. Oh, got to edit it. Where it says, I command all men everywhere. Ah, here it is. Chapter 1. 1 Timothy, chapter 1. Okay. Verse 6, some have wandered away from these and turned to meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law. Verse 3. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. This is about 666, the number of the beast. 666. Okay. Command certain men not to teach false doctrines any longer. And verse 4. Nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. These promote controversies rather than God's work. Okay? Myths and endless genealogies. What is the number of the beast? 666. All of our sources from the second century until 2018, the number of the beast, the name of that beast is Nero. It's Augustus Caesar. It's all the emperors from Julius to Domitian. It's Pope Pius III. It's Hitler. It's Mao Zedong. It's Hillary Clinton. It's Donald Trump. It's the triangular number of 36, which is the number of David. The best scholarship says, we don't know. The first century readers of John, the people who read this letter first in the first century, they probably knew who it was. They know John, they know what he's thinking. But the purpose of this is what? It's hard to decipher because the false prophet is hard to distinguish. He's deceptive. This calls for wisdom. Holy Spirit says, yeah, the myths, endless genealogies, they'll just go on and on and on. Don't be devoted to what that 666 is. I could talk for another 30 minutes on this number. But the point is deceptiveness. We're not talking about barcodes, credit cards, microchips. We're talking about deceptiveness. So, now maybe some people say, okay, it's the number of man, 777, the number of God, 666, fail, fail, fail. Okay, can we move on? I need to close. Okay, thank you. How do we fight this? How do we move? You don't have to turn there. We're closing. In Psalm 1, the first Psalm, it says, what a person is blessed. How is a person? A blessed person is what? Here's what it says. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk with the wicked, stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. Right? So the one who's blessed, the one who is blessed by God, the righteous man, he doesn't do those three things, you know? He doesn't associate, he doesn't stay with, and he's not any part of sin. So three negative conditions of being blessed. Now, if you know your Bible, if you know Hebrew poetry, if you know how usually it works, there's a lot of parallels in the Bible. So if I say three negative things about a blessed person, the next verse, Psalm 1, verse 2, should be three positive things, right? I should say, instead, blessed is he who walks with the righteous, who stands with the upright, and who sits in the seat of the assembly. Something like that, right? That's Hebrew poetry. One and then two. What happens in verse 2, Psalm 1? Only one thing. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his word, he meditates day and night. That's one thing. That's a blessed person. The law of the Lord is the word of God. It's the Bible. I want to give you the best advice that I've ever been given. And you don't have to be a Bible student. You don't have to go to seminary. You don't have to go to Bible school. You don't have to spend hours online, reading commentaries and all that. It's the best advice that somebody gave me as a Christian. It was given to me by my mentor. I was under his discipleship for 5 years, Dr. Rich Friedman, my pastor in San Pedro, California. He discipled me for 5 good years. He taught me ministry. He taught me how to love people, how to pray for people. We prayed hours together. We spent countless hours. He would give me books to read. But you know what? He would actually meet with me every week, and we talk about those books. He gave me a book about sharing my faith. Bill, Campus Crusade for Christ. Bill Bright, I think. Anyway, we would go over a book on how to share your faith. And in the book, it says, you know, the four spiritual laws, right? God made the earth, man sinned, and Christ died for our sins, and we trust in him, and we have eternal life. But when you share your faith, that's four tools that are really useful, but you need one more, and that's your testimony. And so when you talk to people, you give your testimony, and that leads to the presentation of the four spiritual laws, which is the gospel. And we read this book together, and he talked about it. But you know what my mentor did? He actually took me out to the street to where people were just standing around. And we got in his car. We went downtown. We found somebody just standing around, maybe waiting for a bus, maybe waiting for a drug deal. I don't know. But we just went there, and Pastor Rich, he would say, excuse me, we're just two guys who are just talking to people about Jesus. Do you have 2 minutes for us to tell you our story? And you know what the guy said? Yeah, go ahead. Pastor Rich, he gives him his testimony. I was born, I grew up, and then I found Jesus, and da-da-da-da. And here's what I learned. 1, 2, 3, 4. And the guy, okay, thanks a lot. And Pastor Rich says, yeah, thanks for listening to us. Really appreciate you. God bless you. And we went on our way. And I learned evangelism is sharing your faith. It's presenting the gospel. What they do with it, it's up to them. It's up to God. I just shared the gospel. And man, that... So anyways, that's all on the side. So he mentored me. And I remember at the end of the 5 years, I was about to go to Japan. I said, you know, Rich, do you have any advice? Any books to read? Something about Bible study? What's real good? And you know what he said? He says, Chris, I'll tell you what somebody told me. Read the Bible all the way through as much as you can. If it takes 1 year to read through it, 1 year. If it takes 3 years, it takes 3 years. But all as much as you can. Read all the way from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And then what's helpful is every time through, you read a different translation. I love the NIV, and then I went to the NIV, I've done the ESV, I've done the World Translation, I'm on my Holman Christian Standard Bible, and I'm just trying to go as much as I can, all the way through. That's why I made the one-year Bible reading plan for Mitake. Why? Hideko Sensei was up here, 88 years old, part of this church, 62 years. And somebody testified about her, Sasakawa-san. They said, when she preached, all she did was talk about the Bible. She didn't go to seminary. She doesn't talk about philosophy, no theology, no systematics, just the Bible. Sasakawa loves it. Blessed is he whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his word he meditates day and night. So you're going to come across YouTube videos, Facebook posts, devotionals, books, all kinds of things. How do you know if it's the false prophet? How do you know? You have the Spirit of God giving you an instinct that as you read and grow and internalize and hide it in your heart, you're going to know. Something's weird. Something's missing. Something's not right. And you have this instinct as you delight in His Word, as you grow in the knowledge and in the grace of Jesus Christ. That's how you fight deception, probably the best way. This calls for wisdom on the part of God's people. Lord Jesus, give us wisdom. Amen. Let's pray. So, Heavenly Father, we are deceived again and again. We are fed lies by the serpent, by our accuser, by the dragon. I pray against Satan and his servants. I pray against their works and their effects. We pray against their lies and their deceptions. We pray against the false prophet. Lord Jesus, reveal to us your will given to us in your word. Help us to understand, to internalize, and to obey. Give us a spirit, Lord, of repentance and humility. Let us follow you in faithfulness and in wisdom. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.